This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely, positively, FedEx. Sponsorship for this show comes from SoFi Invest. Alternative investments are now available on SoFi. Unlock the potential to build and protect your wealth with alts, including real estate, venture capital, pre-IPO unicorns, and more at SoFi.com/tboy.
Alternative investment funds have unique risks, including the risk of loss, may charge high fees, can be illiquid, and aren't suitable for all investors. Investors should carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and important information contained in a fund's prospectus prior to investing. SoFi Securities LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
Today's show is sponsored by Acura.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura.
And now it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet.
Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own.
Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And this is Snacks Daily. It is Monday, April 15th, tax day. And this is the best one yet, right, Jack?
Markets rose last week. They inched up about 0.5%. We're close to record highs for the S&P 500.
Dangerously close. It is earnings season has kicked off. Things are feeling good.
And the next 2 weeks are going to be exciting. We have IPOs from the likes of Pinterest and Zoom, among all the other corporate earnings reports.
I love it. Now, Jack and I spent all weekend basically finding three wonderful stories for you guys.
Yes, we've been very busy for you. The first one we found was easy to find. Jumia, the first Africa-focused IPO on the New York Stock Exchange. It just happened Friday.
And it jumped 75% on day one, which is pretty good.
Our second story is very TMZ style. Facebook had some serious boardroom drama. Two famous celebrity board investors are out.
Who is going to get Zucks Rose? It is not Netflix CEO Reed Hastings, I'll tell you that.
No, it's not. And the third and final story, big bank earnings season has kicked off. Friday was JP Morgan and Wells Fargo. We're just focusing on JP Morgan Chase.
I love this because America's biggest bank reveals what's happening in the U.S. economy. Beautiful thing.
We have an urgent announcement for all you procrastinators out there. Today, taxes are due.
I don't even know. Is it like noon, 5 p.m., end of business day?
Let's hope it's midnight, but April 15th is U.S. tax day. And look, you're actually expected on average to get a much smaller refund than previous years. So we want to let you know something to boost your mood a little bit.
Yeah, we want to like find some actual discounts here. First one we found for you guys on tax day, Potbelly Sandwiches is like doing a buy one, get one sandwich thing, which I don't like their sandwiches, but I do like two sandwiches.
Grimaldi's Pizza, the famous one right underneath the Brooklyn Bridge. Pizza is cheaper on tax day. Go check it out.
Now, Jack, after that pizza, you probably want to carbo load a little more. I saw Cinnabon is doing a discount with its caramel pecan buns.
And along the unhealthy food trend, McDonald's has a discount. If you buy one chicken McNuggets, you get a second chicken McNuggets for 1 cent.
Jack, I love loading up on this stuff. All I want is a spa package after all those three things.
American taxpayers, treat yourself with a deal on tax day.
Do it. Now, before you do, just listen up to these key words.
You're tuned in to Snacks Daily. We spoke to the lawyers and we got to get something legal out the way. The snacks you're about to hear ain't food, it's ear candy. They don't reflect the views of the Robin Hood family. It's all informational, just so you know. We're not recommending any securities. Nope. It's not a research report or investment advice. Not an offer or sale of a security. Right. Snacks is digestible. Business news for you. Robin Hood Financial, LLC. Member FINRA /SIPC.
For our first story, I love this one. Jumia, the Amazon of Africa, just jumped 75%. On its IPO day.
This was historic. It is the first Africa-focused tech IPO on the New York Stock Exchange.
Now, we dove in and became snackperts on the matter. Basically, Jack and I were Jumiaing all weekend long.
All right. First part of the snackperts Wikipedia page for this company we're building. Jumia, means independence in Swahili. But interestingly, it's like history, its corporate structure is way more complicated. Do you want to break this down, Jack?
Yeah, I do. We said it is the first Africa-focused tech IPO. That's because this background is so complicated. It was founded in Nigeria in 2012. It's now headquartered, though, in Berlin, Germany.
But it's selling goods in like 14 different African countries.
Mm-hmm. The owners are 21% of shares are held by Rocket Internet, a German tech-like phenom.
And then like the other 30%, which brings us over 50%, is owned by a South African telecom company.
So its market is completely Africa, but its family tree is geographically complex.
It's very spread out. Now, like I said, all weekend long, Jack and I are Jooming our hearts away on this thing. And we noticed that when you're on the website and using Jumia, it's very similar to Chinese technologies because it's a mashup of a lot of US apps.
Yeah, these companies that are just being formed now in Africa and China, they can look to the US and see what's happening there. So this is not just the Amazon of Africa.
So
it's
true.
It's also got like Kayak. It has seamless delivery. It's Instacart. It's Drizzly Alcohol. And it's also Trulia Real Estate, all in one Franken app.
You essentially can buy a Zara dress. You can have your food delivered. You can get some Pepsi showing up at your door, book a trip to Cairo, and then rent a home in Nairobi, all on Jumia.
One reason investors are excited is the big market of Jumia.
We're talking like these are the powerhouse African economies, the 14 that it has access to.
Those 14 encompass 74% of African consumer spending.
Let that set in. That's like a serious number of spending is happening there. However, there's a huge e-commerce opportunity because only 1%, Jack and I were blown away by this fact, 1% of all African retail spending happens online. That's it.
Finally, this one is going to knock you out of your seat. Nigeria is expected. Nigeria is Jumia's biggest market in Africa.
I didn't expect this.
It's expected by 2050 to have the third largest population in the world behind just India and China.
And then the continent itself, Africa's GDP on average, it's growing at like 6% this year. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Jumia?
Jumia operates in emerging markets, and emerging markets have all sorts of new risks.
So true. Huge upside here in that there's exposure to a fast-growing emerging market like Nigeria's, and that's why shares pretty much jumped 75% on day one after the IPO.
Yeah, everybody wanted a piece of Jumia, but don't forget the downside of working in emerging markets. In general, they're more likely to have political risks, weaker government institutions, and straight up like weaker laws about who owns what.
And you've already seen this with Jumia. Get this, 95% of payments in Kenya happen with cash, and Jumia allows cash payment. So it's basically like a super clunky way of connecting its revenues. It's got to get cash into its coffers.
And because of that cash acceptance, some Jumia sellers have warehouses where they put cash that they get for their stuff. There was one robbery recently where $565,000 of cash were stolen from a Jumia seller.
In Kenya. And then get this, delivery verification, huge issue. 14% of the goods that have been sold via Jumia didn't actually make it to their destination because they couldn't verify if that was the order.
Emerging markets have big upside, but don't forget the risky downsides.
For our second story, Facebook had a week of corporate drama and revealed some fascinating key details on the company.
This is a story about a board of directors, and we want to break down Facebook's for you because it is just all-star celebrity, politician, VC packed.
This is like Jedi Council kind of stuff, right?
It really is. There are 9 board members for Facebook. Now, the top two, obviously the Yoda and Obi-Wan Kenobi, are Mark Zuckerberg and Sheryl Sandberg.
Totally. And then you've got, you know, a couple of big deal venture capitalists. You got Peter Thiel and Mark Andreessen.
Those are the masters of scale. And then you got Kenneth Chenault, who's the former CEO of American Express, bringing some financial know-how.
True. And then you've got some interesting political stuff because you have a former Obama administration and consultant guy, and you've got Erskine Bowles, who was a former Clinton administration guy.
And rounding it out is Susan Desmond-Hellmann, who's a biotech superstar and also worked for the Gates Foundation. So some philanthropy.
And then last and not least, and this is what we want to focus on, you have got Reed Hastings, the Netflix CEO and co-founder.
Reed Hastings of Bowdoin College fame is no longer going to be a Facebook board member, and he's been around since 2011, so this is a big change.
Now, I love the way they frame this, Jack. It's not just that he's not going to be a new board member. He is, quote-unquote, not up for re-election.
Now, we looked at this, and we also looked at
Erskine Bowles, who also won't be up for re-election. And we thought to ourselves, Facebook, more than any other company, is under the spotlight of politicians.
Right, and Bowles and Hastings are both longtime and outspoken Democrats.
So in the back of Zuck's mind, he was probably thinking, maybe I'll remove two Democrats to refute conservative claims of bias on the social network.
Now, we'll get back to Hastings here. Hastings is stepping down because things are basically just getting too awkward.
This is so awkward for Hastings and Facebook. Facebook has original content for video as a big part of its strategy. It's called Facebook Watch.
Now, Facebook Watch was launched in 2017, and then get this number. I had no idea it would be this big. 400 million viewers watch at least one Facebook Watch show every month.
I am not one of them, just for the record. I've never full disclosure watched this show. Now, we always talk about Netflix's spending on original content. Guess what?
True.
Facebook is spending $1 billion this year on original shows.
With a B. And can we talk about some of these original shows? Jack, as a native New Englander, do you want to opine on your least favorite show?
As a New York Giants fan who grew up surrounded by Patriots fans, I have Tom versus Time, which is some like Tom Brady living until he's 200 years old show on Facebook Watch.
I think 200 will be if bad luck happens. He's on his way to 300. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you've got Sacred Lies, which is just like about a girl stuck in a cult.
Now, I think most relevant to all of our guilty pleasures is a Real World reboot with MTV that's coming to Facebook Watch.
MTV, didn't know you were still around. Love that you're making moves here. Now, Netflix is the number one competitor in video for Facebook. So that's why this is so awkward.
All those shows we just mentioned feel like Netflix, you know, ish competitors. So there's an obvious conflict of interest that Reed Hastings has, so he's stepping down.
So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies on corporate boards?
If you want to know where a company is going, don't look at its products. Look at its people.
Exactly. You look at its hiring pages to see what companies are getting into.
And look at its board to see what areas of interest or concern it has.
And then look for changes in that board so you can see what its future priorities will be.
This is how you see the future.
Future, this is how you see.
Jack, put on your suit and order some late night seamless. We got to talk about big bank earnings because JP Morgan just showed us that it is a window into your life.
I'm still working on converting this podcast into a pitch deck for our iBanking audience, but
please.
Our story today is about JPMorgan Chase and Wells Fargo. That's two investment banks down, four to go.
Now, we're talking about big banks and profit reports because earnings season kicked off last week.
Now, as we alluded earlier, we want to focus on JPMorgan Chase. And I got to tell you, that is two different things. JPMorgan acquired Chase Manhattan Bank in the year 2000. And like any good marriage, they hyphenated the names and kept both.
It was perfect. And Wall Street basically has a bank with JP Morgan, and then there is a Main Street bank with JP Morgan.
Right. The Wall Street bank is called JP Morgan. It's based on Wall Street, and profit in the first quarter of 2019 dropped for its Wall Street business
by 6%. And that's basically because of the government shutdown and the trade war with China.
Now, Chase, that's the Main Street. Profits rose by 19%.
And basically, that's because of a strong economy and people like you and us who are just spending more, maybe.
All right, add up those two streets. Overall, JPMorgan Chase had a record profit and shares jumped by 5% on Friday.
And that was really what kicked off the big bank earnings because this week you've got like this ridiculous lineup. Goldman, Citi, Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, they're all waiting, but JPMorgan set the tone.
That is murderer's row right there.
You ready for this, Jack? Now, here's the thing with JPMorgan. It's Chase is a window into the American consumer's soul, and it's staring
really,
right at you.
Really a window into their wallet, actually.
Yeah, like your e-wallet, essentially. We're talking ATMs, debit cards, credit cards. What else?
So Chase, you know, it's got checkings account and savings accounts. It doesn't have stocks and bonds. This is the stuff that you, me, and Nick all use every day.
Now, here's the interesting thing. Chase is also, by chance, the largest U.S. credit card issuer. Turns out, we learned from their earnings report, spending on JPMorgan Chase credit cards jumped 10% in the first quarter of 2019.
And since interest rates are higher than they've been in like 10 years in this U.S. economy, that was extra good for Chase because they're making all that interest. So this is good for JPMorgan Chase. A little concerning in general that people are just swiping credit cards left and right. But overall, good that people are spending.
But CEO Jamie Dimon for JP Morgan, he is like literally the guy who's looking into Americans' digital wallets right now.
Yeah.
Get this quote. We love this. This is what came out from the earnings report. JP Morgan's Jamie Dimon said, quote unquote, expansion of the U.S. economy could go on for years.
And he said, there is no law that economic expansions need to come to an end. So that's very bullish.
If there is anyone who had a good sense of that kind of a thing, it's the guy who knows exactly how much you're spending and splurging on every weekend for that soul cycle. So Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at the banks?
Just like mom told you, every bank is special. They're not all the same.
So true. On Friday, it wasn't just JP Morgan reporting earnings. We also had Wells Fargo reporting earnings too.
JP Morgan stock rose pretty good, like 5%, and Wells Fargo sank about 3%.
And we know why. It's basically three reasons Wells Fargo is a different kind of bank.
First, Wells Fargo is still paying gigantic fines. Like, they have had $15 billion in fines since the year 2000. That's according to violationtracker.com, which is a great rap sheet for Wells Fargo.
When I'm not on Jumia, Jack, I'm on violationtracker.com every weekend. And remember, JP Morgan's paid plenty of fines too since 2008, but Wells is still paying for scandals that happened like months ago.
And because of those still ongoing scandals, the CEO of Wells Fargo just stepped down. They've only named an interim temporary replacement, so leadership is a big question mark.
Exactly. And then the third issue is that as the largest home lender in the country, higher interest rates hurt Wells Fargo's mortgage business because it's just more expensive for you to borrow.
And Wells Fargo loves mortgage business. JP Morgan is also suffering in that category, but it's much more diversified and makes money in other places.
And that's why it's a window into whatever it is you just bought. Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us to start the week?
Yes. Jumia was a huge winner on IPO day, but don't forget about emerging market risks.
Yes, with huge opportunity comes pretty huge emerging market risk every now and then.
Facebook, if you want to know where a company is going, don't look at its products. Look at its people, its new
people. But not like in a creepy way. Don't like, you know, don't do anything wrong here, but check out their corporate website. See who is on their Jedi board.
Third and final story, JP Morgan Chase and Wells Fargo. Not all banks are the same. Each is different.
Our mom said it, and you know what? The CEOs of these banks would say it too. Jack, time for our snack fact of the day. This one, particular to tax day, we wanted to hit this. Can we talk about Finland's National Jealousy Day in November?
We must. What Finland is doing with their equivalent of tax day is much cooler. So in Finland, on November 1st, which is their equivalent of tax day, all citizens' income and the taxes they pay become publicly available for anybody to see.
Literally, you have reporters poring over everything. They know what you made and how you're getting taxed on it.
Naturally, this is referred to as National Jealousy Day because Bob across the street who's got a boat, you could see how much they're making. But interestingly, it actually deters people from committing tax fraud because you can look up Bob's income and their taxes and if it doesn't seem like it lines up with that new boat, you can call the authorities.
Shame might be the most powerful weapon on earth. Now, a couple other awesome stories we're going to be covering this week. First of all, just a couple huge IPOs. You got Pinterest and Zoom coming at.
And then we got the rest of corporate earnings season seriously kicking into high gear. Check out our Snacks Daily newsletter and our pod every day.
Can't wait for the rest of the week with you guys.
Talk to you tomorrow. The Robinhood Snacks podcast you just heard reflects the opinions of only the hosts who are associated persons of Robinhood Financial LLC and does not reflect the views of Robinhood Markets Inc. or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. The podcast is for informational purposes only, is not intended to serve as a recommendation to buy or sell any security, and is not an offer or sale of a security. The podcast is also not a research report and is not intended to serve as the basis of any investment decision. Robinhood Financial LLC, member FINRA, SIPC.
If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.